Isaiah chapter 30, and if you're able to stand this morning, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Isaiah chapter 30. Start with verse 1. And here the Bible says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all shamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be of any help nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry the riches upon their shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be any in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit." Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, I'm asking you now to anoint me to be able to preach with power, to be able to preach with wisdom, God, and for knowledge of your word. Keep me out of the flesh, please, Lord, and into your holy word. God, may you do a mighty work today. It's these things I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Now, as we preached last Sunday morning concerning Christian persecution in America, and I want to tell you that sermon has kind of caused a few problems for some people. They don't like it, but there's been a lot of people listening to it on the Internet, a lot of people downloading it and listening, and they think that we're all nuts. They think that Christians are all crazy because we believe we're being persecuted in the United States of America. Well, you believe what you may, but I'll just tell you what the Bible says. And the Bible says that hard times are coming. Now, we just read from this passage of Scripture. This dealt with the children of Israel. If you know your Bible history, and even if you don't, I'll tell you this morning what's going on. What had happened is the children of Israel had become so rebellious, which, by the way, the whole book of Isaiah is dwelling upon the rebellion of the children of Israel. 9 times he uses the word rebel or rebellion or rebellious all throughout that book, all through the first, the middle, and the last. Even the first, very first chapter, second verse of Isaiah calls them a rebellious people. And so the whole theme, underlying theme of Isaiah is rebellion of God's people. Well, this morning I want to kind of give you a little snapshot of what was going on back then and compare it to what's going on today in our modern times. Now, if you're like me and you're a Christian, if we can borrow a phrase from Daniel, we can see the handwriting upon the wall. There's a handwriting upon the wall today, and it needs to be emblazoned across the walls of Congress, across the walls of the United, of the White House, of the United States Senate, emblazoned across there, that time is coming to a screeching halt, and the time is coming where America is going to fall under the heavy hand of persecution and under the heavy hand of God, who is not going to put up with this much longer. Well, with the help of the Lord, let's look at this morning. Now, to get an understanding kind of where we're at in Isaiah 30, you need to understand what's going on. You see, the Assyrians, God had allowed the Assyrians, which was that wicked, awful nation, and they were part Assyrian and Babylonian, so they kind of went together. But the Assyrians were descendants or offspring of Cush and of Nimrod. Now, you remember Nimrod, don't you? The Bible says he was a mighty hunter. His name actually means rebellion. And so they come by that name naturally. Now, they worshiped the god named Asher, and they were the Assyrians. There were many, many, many of these wicked people. And God was using them to try to teach His people a lesson. And He's warned them over and over throughout the years. He said, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, if you don't throw down your false idols, if you don't come to Me and remember what I've done for you and be My people and I'm your God, I'm going to allow your enemies to come in. They're going to swoop in here and they're going to take your children. They're going to lead you into captivity. They're going to destroy your homes, destroy your lands, and that's going to happen to you. And He's told them that. Well, it's already began. Already the northern portion of Israel has been taken into captivity, all the northern kingdom. That was the upper section there, mostly of most of Israel, actually. And in the southern kingdom, most of all the cities had already been taken, except Jerusalem. And so it was down to that one last fortified city that was still standing before the Assyrians came and they wiped them off the face of the earth. They take them into captivity. They destroy everything that they had. And when the Assyrians took over, it wasn't just coming in and taking them and leading them out of there nice and politely. They destroyed everything in their path. I mean, they were like a band of locusts that came in and ate up everything. I mean, they destroyed the land. They destroyed the homes. They destroyed everything. They were destroyers. They were very wicked people. So that's what's happened. Well, so we have a group of them that's still left here. But they're still in rebellion. They're in rebellion to God here in this southern kingdom, these folks. And what did they decide to do? Well, instead of going to God, what He's already told them to do, how they can come about this, all they had to do was turn from their wickedness and their sin, repent and come to Him, and He would save them. But what did they do instead? They forgot about God. They said, we don't want to hear from God. We don't want anything to do with this God. In fact, we're going to go down to Egypt, and we're going to make a deal with Egypt. And we're going to send our princes and our ambassadors down there and all of our goods and riches. And we're going to go to Egypt and we're going to have an alliance with them. And they're going to protect us from the Assyrians. And they'll fight for us and they'll protect us. And we don't have to worry about God. We've got the Egyptians on our side. And Pharaoh, he'll be our leader. So they've made a pact with Egypt. And they're going to go down and try to be saved by Egypt. Well, so our first verse said, woe to rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of Me, and that cover with a covering, but not of My Spirit, that they may add sin to sin. He says children. He's not talking about little kids. He's not talking about these little girls over here. Not children like that. He's talking about His people. When God is talking about children in the Bible, most of the time He's talking about adults, people that are His people. He calls His people His children. If you're a Christian today, you're one of His children. He's your father. And so He's referring to adults here, not little kids. And He begins by saying that they're rebellious children. Rebellious. And like I said, that's one of the main themes throughout Isaiah is rebellion. Over there, I mentioned this in verse 2 of chapter 1. He says, Isaiah says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against Me. They have rebelled against Me. Now, you remember what God brought these people from, right? He brought them out of Egypt. Remember, that's where they were. That's where they were in bondage, in slavery, where their slave masters were beating them and piling the work upon them and causing them to work and work. And God brought them out of that place. He brought them out of Egypt into a place that He was going to give them, a place of the place of milk and honey, where milk and honey was flowing, a place of peace and a place where they could be happy. But no, what did they do? They rebelled against God. They forgot what He brought them from. Rebellion, my friend, is backsliding. Rebellion is forgetting where God's brought you from. Do you remember where God has brought you from? We're no better than the children of Israel. We'll be going through a trial, I've noticed, in our lives. We go through trials. And we get all desperate and we get down and we start praying and repenting, getting close to God and reading His Word and praying and get all sincere with God. And He brings us through that trial we're going through. Maybe it was some kind of health problem or a family problem or a job problem. Whatever it is you were going through, and boy, you were just crying to God and asking Him to help you. And what did He do? He helped you through that period. Oh, you might have had a loss. You may have had a hurt that something might have happened to you. But He brought you through that fire. He brought you through that trial. And what did you do? The next time something happened, why me, God? Why me? We all feel like that we're special, that we should be special and better than everybody else, that we shouldn't have to go through anything. I want to ask you this. Why not you?
Why not you? What makes you think you're any better than the next person beside you or the person behind you? Why not us? Because things are going to happen to us, but when they do, why do we start rebelling against God? God's caused this to happen to me. I've been trying to live for the Lord, and all of a sudden this has happened to me. And we rebel against Him. And there's other forms of rebellion. Any sin that you commit is rebellion against God. When you sin against Him, you're more or less saying, God, I don't really care what you think. I don't really care that you think I'm wrong for doing this. I'm going to do it because it pleases me. You're in rebellion. You're one of these rebellious children. Well, the children of Israel, after being warned for years, and God is a very welcoming God. He's a God that watches over His people. He loves them and He wants the best for them. But I want you to know they went one too many times in their sin. One too many idols was worshipped. One too many times they turned their back on Him. And He said, this is it. This is it. He said, they take counsel, but not of Me. Not of Me. Instead of going to God for the answers on what should we do, God, show us what You want us to do. We're going to get down on our knees and repent and pray to You. And God, we want You to show us what You want us to do. How You want to save us from our enemies. They didn't do that. They did take counsel, though. They sent a council down to Egypt and talked to Pharaoh. They sent their best. They sent their princes and their ambassadors down to Egypt. They sent their very finest. I mean, they went out of their way to make sure that this little pact was done right. They took a lot of time and consideration and money into this thing. I mean, this wasn't a light thing that they did. And so they go to Egypt for counsel. And they look to them instead of God. They forsook God. They look to the foreigners and to the world to protect them. He said that they may add sin to sin. You see, what they were doing, by doing this rebellion, by turning to the world and to Egypt to protect them, they were adding more to their sin. Not only are they been sinning and God's been warning them, but now they're going to go and do this and it's going to double their sin. Sin for sin. And my friend, every time you sin, I want you to know it leads to another sin. You sin, you try to cover it up. What do you got to do to cover it up? You've got to sin again. You've got to keep it. It's a never-ending thing. Sin after sin, you double your sin. King David, as he was up there and he committed that awful act with Bathsheba, what did he do? He sinned, but what did he do after that? He piled more sin on top of that. Then he come and he lied and he did all these things. And then by the time he was done, he was guilty of the murder of her husband. Sin upon sin upon sin. And the Bible says that they may add sin to sin. So they're just making matters worse. It's not going to get any better. Verse 2 said that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at My mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. He said, you didn't get My okay to do this. If you're My people and I'm your God, why didn't you come to Me and consult Me? Why didn't you ask Me to be sitting on Your council and to guide you and to lead you and maybe to soften Pharaoh's heart if that was what I wanted to do for you? You didn't ask Me. You didn't ask My mouth. You didn't ask Me to strengthen them or to fall to the strength of Pharaoh. But you're trusting in him. You're trusting in a man instead of God. Verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. He tells them because they've done this, they're going to be confused and ashamed. Confused and ashamed. And my friend, that's what sin does to you. Sin, no matter how much you think it may please you, no matter how happy it may make you, whatever that thing is that draws your flesh, we all have sin in our life. The Bible says all sin comes short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Don't sit there and act like you're better than anybody else. You're a sinner. Bible said so. And when we sin, and no matter how good we may think that makes us, friends, I want you to know that it will bring us shame. It will bring us confusion because we got to do something with it. If you're a Christian today, your conscience and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is not going to allow you to keep living that way. It will confuse you and it will cause you shame. Now, verses 4, 5, and 6, it just describes how they determined they were going to make this happen by bringing all their best and all their goods and their princes and the ambassadors. And they sent their best people and the princes down there to work out this pact. Now, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." Oh, Egypt's going to brag. Egypt, the world is going to brag that they have all the answers. Come down to us. I can see Pharaoh right now just grinning from ear to ear. This is the people that left here thinking God had brought them out from under our control. They're going to come back here. I can see Pharaoh grinning from ear to ear and just being happy about this. And oh, he'll brag. Oh, I'll protect you. Your God can't protect you from the Assyrians. But look at my power. Look at my land. Look at my riches. Look at my soldiers. Look at everything that I've got. I'll protect you, Israel. I'll do it. The Bible says they will help in vain. In vain. That means for nothing. It's not going to help. To no purpose. Therefore, if I cry concerning it, their strength is to sit still. So what's going to happen? Egypt's going to boast and brag that they can help. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty, when it comes down to the front battle lines, Egypt's going to sit back and sit down. They're not going to help you. You're doing this all in vain. This is going to cause nothing but confusion and shame for you. You know, many times throughout the Bible, Egypt is not only a picture of a land and a people. It's a picture, a snapshot of the world is what Egypt represents. When you see the word Babylon, that is a picture of the world and sin. Egypt is much the same. It's a picture of sin and the world. And so when God's people turn to Egypt, the world, and to sin for help, we see what's happened. God says, this is all for vain. This is not going to do you any good. It's not going to help you. And he says, I cried out. Isaiah says, I cried out concerning this. Verse 8, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. Now Isaiah, he's telling these people, he says, now look here. This is what God has told me to tell you. Isaiah was God's prophet. He was one of the major prophets in the Bible that you see. One of the greatest. And Isaiah says, now God has told me what's going to happen here. He's told me that your little council you've got planned with Egypt's not going to work out, and you're going to keep doing it anyway. He's told me that he's going to come and allow the Assyrians to destroy your land and take your people. He's told me this. Now, what I want you to do is you go get you a book, and you write down what I've told you. And not only write down what I've told you, but you better write down what I'm fixing to tell you next. Because it's going to be important, and in one day in history, when your children look back and say, Daddy, why did all these things happen to us back there in that day? Daddy, how come we were led into captivity? Why did this happen? And you know what? They're going to say, go get the books. Go get the books. And this ain't those books that the government gives our children in our high schools today to try to cover up everything that's happened. You don't hear the truth in high school in your history books. They won't tell you the real truth. It's not that. It's the real truth. And they'll say, go get the books. And let me tell you what happened back there in this awful history of our land when we turned our backs on God. When things wasn't going the way that they were supposed to. When we trusted in Egypt and Pharaoh and the world and sin to lead us. Go get that book. And you know what? They'll get those books. And they'll look at it and they'll say, Daddy, how come we allowed this? Daddy, why did you let this go on? How come our people, they didn't follow God? How come they went to the world? Why did this happen? It's written all down in the books. Isaiah says, now you go write this down. Write it before them in a table. And note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Here we are reading about it this morning. It was written down in a book. We've got it right here in front of us. Then he goes on into what caused this to happen. This is what they're going to write down. That this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Do you see what he called them? He called them rebellious, liars, and those that won't listen to the Lord. Rebellious, liars, and they that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but who does that remind you of? Now, this doesn't say this was the United States of America. But my friend, if this don't make you think of the United States of America right here, you've got your head buried so deep in the sand you can't find your way out. This is a snapshot of the people today. Oh, it happened in the land of Israel, but it's happening in the land of the United States of America, the land of the free. The land of the free. We are a rebellious bunch of lying, not listening to God people today. Oh, but we were founded as a Christian nation, Brother Byron. I know we were. We sure were.
And some people say, boy, I'm so tired of hearing this. I'm so tired of hearing about the ways of the United States today and everybody talking about all the government and the Supreme Court decisions. I'm so sick of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's all I hear on the news and everywhere else. I don't want to hear it, friends. It's going to be rung from the rafters until the day the Lord returns or until I leave here from this life in death. If I leave here in death or the Lord comes and gets me, I'm not ever going to shut up about it. Because thus saith the Lord, look at that. This is a rebellious, lying children. Children will not hear the law of the Lord. I want to take you down a short trip down memory, a stroll down memory lane this morning. I want you to go back to 1962. 1962 in the United States of America. Does anybody understand what happened in 1962? Anybody? They cut out prayer in school. Oh, here he goes. Talking about that prayer in school. Here he goes. Boy, the world hates it when we even mention it. 1962, the Supreme Court decided that we didn't want to have prayer in school. Couldn't any teacher, any kind of leaders in the school, anybody that was connected with the school could not lead children in prayer. Well, we can't stand that. We cannot have that. We can't have it. The next year, prayer wasn't enough for them. It wasn't enough for them because they were still some godly teachers that were sitting there and say, well, I may not be able to lead you in prayer class, but I tell you what I can do. I can read you the Word of God. And what did they do? They opened up their Bibles. And before class started, they read from the Word of God. But you know what happened in 1963? The Supreme Court said, we can't have that. We've done got God out of there through prayer. We're now going to get Him out of there. We're going to get His Word out of that place. We can't have those children listening to the Word of God. We cannot do it. So in 1963, the Supreme Court voted to remove the Bible from the public school. Oh, but children can still bring it. That's still legal. They can do that if they desire to. Get your heads out of the sand this morning. Get it out of the sand. If you've been keeping up with the news and you can see any time that a child goes into a public school and they say anything about God, anything about Jesus, especially Jesus, if they mention the word Jesus, you'll find them making bad grades on their papers. They'll mark that out. We can't have that kind of language in school. Oh, but you can cuss. You can do anything. You can hand out contraceptives in school, but you can't use that name Jesus. That's the most offensive thing we've ever seen in our life. And so they cut out prayer in 62. They cut out the Bible in 63. Now, just a few years later in 1969. Does anybody know what happened in 69? 1969, there was a 21-year-old woman. Her name was Norma McCorvey. Norma McCorvey was found to be going to be having a baby. This would be her third child. She's already gave up two for adoption. Didn't want them. And now she's going to have a third one that she don't want. She's 21 years old and been with several men, had babies several times, adopted them or sent them off for adoption. Now she's going to have another. She don't want to have this one. 1969, she don't want to have it. So she goes to her friends and she says, I need to find me a place I can get rid of this baby. I don't want this baby. And so they look and they look and they try to find a place. They can't find any place that she can legally do this. They say, well, you know what? We heard that down in Texas, you can go down there and you can tell them that you were, I hate to use this word, you were raped. And that's why that you're going to have a baby. And if you'll tell them that, then they will allow you to do that. Well, she goes and she tells the big lie. Tells them all this stuff that happened to her. Lied to them. Told them that's how she was going to have a baby. Wanted to have it aborted. Couldn't stand to have that baby. And they turned her down. They turned her down. Thank God for that. But anyway, what's happened next? Well, we got to do something about this. This is not right. This is not right that a woman, if she don't want to have a baby, she ought to be able to get rid of that thing. I mean, after all, it's not even born. It's nothing. It's nothing inside of her. Forget what God told Jeremiah, that I knew thee before I formed thee in the womb, in the belly. Forget what God said. But if a woman wants to get rid of that baby, then they ought to have a way to do that. So what happened? Well, there was these two young lawyers, women lawyers. They've been looking for just the person like this. Somebody that wanted to get rid of a baby. And they used this woman. And they renamed her to Jane Doe. She's no longer Norma McCorvey. And she comes across the court as a Jane Doe. Now, Norma McCorvey and Jane Doe was never allowed in the courtroom. She wasn't even in the courtroom. She didn't hear any of the proceedings. She didn't have anything to do with the trial. All she was a name to put out there in a case file. And what did they do?
Well, they come up before the Supreme Court. And, of course, we all know it was Roe versus Wade is the name of what happened there. And so they come up there and they wanted to put this before. Well, we know the outcome. After about a year there, in 1973, January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court, in a 7-2 majority, ruled that women could now murder their unborn babies inside of their wombs. Oh, they didn't say it like that, did they? They could now abort this thing that's inside of them. They didn't say they murdered their babies. 42 years later, we have legally murdered 57 million babies in the United States of America. 57 million little precious, godly little babies that God had formed in the womb that He knew before they were even formed. That they had a body, they had a soul, and they had a spirit inside that mother's womb. And we said, the United States of America, we hate everything about that. We want to get rid of that little precious baby. We want to kill it. We want to go in and murder that baby inside of a woman because, after all, she shouldn't have to do that. She shouldn't have to do it. On a side note, Norma McCorvey did not ever have an abortion. She had that baby, and she gave it up for adoption. The Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. Don't you know he's been laughing his little head off ever since all these things happened? He's been laughing all through here. What did Isaiah say about the children of Israel? He called them lying children. What do we have today in the United States of America? We've got a bunch of lying children. Bunch of lying children. He said they will not hear the law of the Lord. What did the Supreme Court do? We don't care what God says. We could care less what Christians think about this. This is a woman's right. What about that little precious baby's rights? The one that couldn't speak. The one who in agony was murdered inside the womb. Oh, they can't feel anything now, can they, Brother Byron? Oh, yes, they can. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. America says we could care less about what God says. We'll listen to the Supreme Court instead. We'll listen to the higher laws of the land. Well, in a matter of 10 more years, what happens? 1989. Now, you may think this is not significant. I think it's connected. June 21st, 1989, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 decision that burning an American flag was protected by your First Amendment rights of free speech. In other words, this morning I could go over here and get our American flag. I could borrow someone's lighter in here and I could start right there on that fringe and I could burn that thing up and nobody would care at all. I'd be in my legal bounds. It's my free speech, my freedom of speech. You know why? I can't hear the flag saying anything. When I set fire to a flag, I'm not saying nothing. I don't see any speech involved in burning of glory here. I don't see anything at all about my free speech. Anything about it. What I see is what the flag represents, the blood of those that fought, that stood on those foreign shores, the people like Frank and O.C. and Chester. And any of you that's been in the service just went over and you gave your time and you gave everything you had for this right here, so we have the right to come here and worship freely and to sit here this morning underneath this flag right here. That's what I see. But the Supreme Court said no. Don't mean that at all. Do what you want to with it. Do you know you may now burn that flag, spit on that flag, set it on fire, stomp on it, wear it on the back of your pants. You can do whatever you want to with that flag, and you're all right. Well, Brother Byron, how's that connected? Well, let's move up to June 26, 2015. June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court, 5-4 decision ruled that all 50 states in the United States had to recognize same-sex marriage. 45 years after prayer was removed from school, we now allow anything to go in marriage. Now, this is not just about so-called gay rights. And by the way, I am literally ashamed and embarrassed that they even put this on the same level as civil rights. of a person's skin that they put it on the same. Anytime you hear an argument today, they say, well, it's just like in the civil rights. The blacks getting their freedom and the blacks being equal. It's got nothing. It's not even in the same realm. A man can't change the color of his skin. You're born with it. But a man decides if he's going to partner up with someone of the same sex. That's all up in here. He's doing that. You weren't born that way. God said He created man and He created woman. And He put them together to reproduce this world. You put these two men and these two women together, there's no reproduction possible. Not possible. So, June 26, 2015, the United States of America said, we don't care about marriage. We don't care about one man, one woman. We hate that. We know that's God's plan, and we hate anything that has to do with God. We want it out of here. And ever since then, the devil has been delighted in doing what he can do. Now, look at verse 10. We'll be finished. Bible says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You want to talk about rebellion. When these kids got that book out and they said, Daddy, let's look at a little bit of the history of what's happened to us. And they read this part right here and they'll say, Daddy, why did you ask the prophets not to prophesy? Why did you ask the seers not to see? Why did you ask the Holy One of Israel to turn from you? Why did you do this, Daddy? It led to nothing but shame and misery and to captivity. Why did you allow this, Daddy? One day our kids, they're going to look back and they're going to say, Daddy, how did this world get the way it is? Daddy, how did America fall? How did the United States crumble like it did? You know what we're going to do? We're going to open the books. And we're going to say, well, let's start right here in 1962. Let's look at 1963. Let's go to 1973. Let's go up to 1989. Let's go to 2015. Let's see all those things that we've done. And they're going to say, Daddy, why did you allow this to happen? In the meantime, you know what the world's saying? You know what the United States is saying? Don't see. Don't prophesy. Preacher, shut up. Quit talking about it. Don't tell me about sin. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Shut up about it. We won. We won. The gays are all saying, we won. We won. Shut up, Christians. We don't want to hear what you got to say. Tell that Holy One to turn His back. We don't want to have anything to do with Him. The Holy One of Israel. Tell Him to stop. We don't care. I hear echoes of this, these verses this morning. I look around in this nation, which I once knew as a godly nation, and I hear people shouting out, quit preaching! Quit preaching that stuff! We don't want to hear it! If that's what you want to believe, fine, but don't you tell me about it. I don't want to hear all this stuff about your God, about that sky wizard that you worship, that imaginary thing that you say that is up there somewhere. I don't want to hear about that. That's what they're saying today. Oh, don't prophesy to us. Don't you see? And I tell you what, you tell that God that you worship to leave me alone. You tell the Holy One of Israel to stay out of my life. Because I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it, whether you like it or not. The Bible says that they're going to say, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Listen to this part. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Do you know anybody that comes to church and they sit there and they say, hey preacher, I'd like for you to lie to me today. You probably won't ever hear anybody come out and vocally say that, will you? But down in our hearts, we're going, and you know what people are doing today? Whatever sin they're involved in, they go shopping for a church that's going to let them feel good about their sin. Oh, it doesn't matter. God loves you anyway. God does love you. He loves the sinner. But you better hear me well. He hates that sin. He hates it. But people will go from church to church until they finally find someone who will pet that sin and say, it's okay. You go ahead if that's what makes you happy, you do. And I don't think God cares. I don't think God minds that you do that because He loves you. Just read the Sermon on the Mount about all that love and stuff. Don't worry about that preacher down at Highland. You know, he's just mean-spirited. That's all he is. And so people will find them a church that will pet their sin. And they'll sit there and they'll be lied to us, preaching to us deceit. Preach smooth things to me. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how lovely I am. Tell me how smart I am. Oh, tell me all about that. And that's what people want today. Now, if you haven't listened to anything I've said, listen to this, please. Because of their rebellion, the children of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, did tell them, if this is what you want, this is what you'll get. Verse 12, wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in places. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth or to take water with them out of the pit. My friend, that Holy One of Israel, just like He did with His people. You know, God chose Israel as His people. They rebelled against Him, and what did He do? All right, you have it your way. I'll leave you alone. This is what's going to happen to you. The United States of America, when we formed here, you know what we did? We chose God as our God. He didn't choose us. We chose Him as our God. Now what are we saying? Leave me alone, you Holy One of Israel. Don't want nothing to do with you or all your commandments and all your statutes. I don't want to hear from it. I don't want to hear it. And we've turned our back on God. We've rebelled against Him. And there's going to be a day. It's going to happen one too many times. And just like the children of Israel, God's going to say, okay, if you want the Holy One of Israel to turn His back on you, here's what's going to happen. I am going to bust you up like a potter's vessel, broken into pieces. America, get ready to start sweeping up the shards. Get ready to start sweeping up the crumbles and the dust. Because this thing is coming down. If we don't repent and come back to God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our only choice today is to turn to God. That's our only choice. The Supreme Court is not going to help you. The President of the United States certainly is not going to help you. Our own state legislator, they're not going to help you. We can't get out of this by turning to the world and to sin to try to save us. We must turn to the Holy One of Israel, to the God of the Bible, to our Heavenly Father, through the blood of Jesus. He's our only hope and help. Let's have an invitation. Ladies, come and get the invitation. Let's pray. Stand and let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, with a broken heart. God, I feel much like Isaiah did in the land when everybody was turning their back, Lord, they were rebelling against You. And God, He was Your prophet, standing alone, shouting out what's going to happen. Lord, I'm praying for each person that's in this building this morning. Lord, if there's one that's wavering, God, one that has not come to the realization that You're our only hope, God, they've not placed their faith, their trust within You. God, if there's one like that today, Lord, please convict their heart today and show them that they must come to you, Lord. The only way to be saved, God, is through you. Lord, if there's one today, I'm begging you today, Lord, to convict them and show them the need to turn to you for everything they need. Lord, help us here in this building this morning. God, if there's one that's listening to this on the internet, on YouTube or sermon audio, or on the radio, God, I'm praying today that, Lord, you convict that heart this morning. Lord, those that may be listening right now and thinking how foolish those people are at Highland Baptist Church, God, would you convict their heart of their sin, of their rebellion, and show them they must come to you, Lord, if they have any hope. Help us here, Father. Help us. If there's one that has a need today, would you come to this altar and let me pray with you? I'm not going to drag out an invitation. I'm going to let them play another verse. If you have a need, would you come down and let me pray with you? Whether it be salvation, backslidden condition, something you're